Welcome to the Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb, broadcasting from the heart of the city. I'm Natasha Steele, and today we're talking family businesses. What are the upsides and downsides of working with your loved ones? Two local companies pitch their wares on Going Up. And transformational coach Dan Warburton tells us how we can achieve the dream lifestyle. You're listening to the Brighton Business Show on FM 97.2, on digital, online at radioreverb.com, and on podcast, downloadable from Mixcloud and Audioboom. Now, there's no time like Christmas for getting family together, but some families are never apart. They live and work together week in, week out. And I'd like to welcome to the studio Yelena and Niko Goranovic from the Sussex Wellbeing Company and Sandra Murphy from Business Doctors, who are here to share their experiences and give some advice on managing the complexities of working together with family. Yelena and Niko, you share much more than a surname. Can you tell us about your company and how you're related?
We've been related for many years.
You know, like 6 or 7 hours just to hear the brief story of how we met and all those things.
So your husband and wife, yeah?
Yeah, you see how it goes. Straight to the point.
Yes, so we've been together off and on for many, many years. We know each other far too well since we were teenagers.
Wow.
It all means that when we work together, we really know what the other person is thinking. We annoy each other incredibly, but we also complement each other. I think that's really trying to put a positive spin on it.
So what is it that you do? What's your company, Niko?
So we like to see ourselves as stress and well-being consultants. Basically what we do, we're trying to, first of all, educate the general public and well, clearly businesses in Brighton and in Sussex about well-being, stress reduction, and increasing productivity in, let's say, unconventional ways of actually working with your employees, giving them and providing them with opportunities mm-hmm. to learn and to grow instead of actually forcing them to reach targets and not having fun. And having fun is actually one of the most important things, and hopefully we'll have time to talk about it later.
Oh, you're going to teach us how to have fun.
Oh, yeah.
This sounds fantastic.
But if I could just summarize. I'm a scientist, that's why I use these annoying words, summarizing. Well, basically, our background, professional background, is very different. Mm. So I have been an academic for a number of years. I'm a psychologist. Mm-hmm. And Niko was a banker. Then for various reasons, stress being the main reason, Niko decided to leave banking and start working as a coach and trainer. I, on the other hand, have been a stress expert. I've been known as a stress lady, not a very nice title, but that's what the students at university call me because I was doing research on stress. So for a number of years, I was stressing people out for research purposes. So then when he left his banking job, and by that point, we were about to have a third child, and I was already stepping out of academia. We started working together, and that's where we brought our different perspectives. Mm. So my knowledge of stress and psychology and team dynamics was entirely academic, whereas Niko had all the first-hand experience of working within the corporate setting and all the team development issues, and that's what essentially brought us together.
Wow, that's really interesting compatibility of your interests and skills there. So how long ago was that you actually created the business?
Well, we started 6 years ago. We had this idea to put a few people together to offer something and give something back to the community, and that's how, firstly, our community program started, which is, and we liked those things, and you notice by our company name, Sussex Wellbeing Company, that's what it says on the tin, like this community program that we've started 6 years ago, Hove Stress Busters. So, group of people helping, community to relieve stress and learn something for themselves to be able actually to perform some of those tools, and we're based in Hove. That's how everything started. So after some time, you realize that actually we have this, let's say, good idea behind this community program, But we are not working with companies, we are not working with businesses. As so many businesses started to actually, well, to being in touch, asking, hey, how can we help? And that's how we realized, actually, that's a good moment for us to start a business. Yeah, so let's say last 6 years, we are in this together through Home Stress Busters and for the last couple of years, actually, through a Sussex Wellbeing Company.
Fantastic. And Sandra, if I can just bring you in here, what's your experience of family businesses?
My experience of family businesses is really mixed. It goes back a very long way. When I was, I grew up in a pub. Which is run by my parents. Both my sisters and myself all worked there as teenagers, partly working in the pub, but also helping with the bookkeeping. You know, I think by the time I was, 16, 18, I was, filing VAT returns for my father. I think I did my first customs and excise investigation when I was 19. But the interesting thing for me about it was I think that's where I sort of got the affinity of working with small businesses and the interest in the dynamic of family businesses. Because, to pick up on some of the points that you have made, nobody knows you as well as your family knows you. And that's in some ways a great thing because they know all about your strengths, but they also know all about your weaknesses. And you revert, I think, sometimes to patterns of behaviour with family that you wouldn't use and wouldn't revert to with colleagues or employees. And that whole dynamic of how you manage that, I think, is a really interesting one.
Can you give me an example of the kind of behaviour you might have experienced with your clients or in your own life?
I can, yeah. There was a business I was working with recently, a husband and wife team, and they have a very successful business, been going for a very long time. They have worked together, they've been running the business for over 30 years, been working together quite a long time. But the core product of the business essentially is in decline. As you know, this happens, businesses go through life cycles as do other things. And one part of the team had identified that that was the case, and there were two other bits of the business that had grown about organically in the last 5 years or so. And one part of the team had identified that this actually was where they needed to go in the future. But the other part of the team was very reluctant to go down that route. And so they asked me to come in and work with them. And, in theory, what I was working on was helping them set the future direction for the business. But actually the reality of what I was working on was how to bring them back to common ground. And I was talking to a colleague of mine saying, I've got this said, I've got this, I've thought about this and I've thought about that. And he said to me, have you got a box of tissues with you? And I was like, oh, don't be so ridiculous, it's not going to get that, it'll be fine, it'll be fine. And so we arrived at the meeting that morning, and they had clearly had a massive row on the way there and came into the room, both sat down, crossed their arms, glowered at one another across the room. And I think it took me about 30 minutes to get them actually communicating. And by the end of the day, we had them in the position where the person who had been very reluctant to move forward was now completely convinced it had been their idea to change direction.
Very clever.
And the other person, luckily, had the sense not to go, but that was my idea, and just, celebrate the fact that the business was now going to move in a direction that they wanted to, but it wasn't actually about the function of the business at that point. Sure. It was about the dynamics between the two of them.
Sure. Yelena and Nico, I'm sure, as expert communicators, teaching other people to communicate, is communication ever a problem for you?
Well, yes, it is. I would say, well, we were actually in a very similar situation where it took a third person to got us to see a viewpoint, because there was there was one or two really major things regarding our business development that were a problem right from the start. And that was there were agreements about sort of certain aspects of product development. I was always, I wouldn't say sabotaging it, but from my perspective, I just thought, my God, no, this won't work. Whereas Nico, obviously, he has extensive corporate experience. And that's the funny thing. I could always recommend him to somebody else. Let's say, who's running a business, I would say, oh, talk to Nico, he's brilliant with that. So obviously, I know that this is something he's been doing for many, many years. But despite his sort of rational awareness, like, yes, he knows his stuff. When it came to our business, I was like, well, he's not right. He's just not right. And it took some work for us to actually, or rather for me, to get to the point of, okay, I actually should trust him. But it's hard. It sometimes takes that third person to help you gain an insight. Because I think for me, as much as I trust in his abilities, all the time I was thinking, well, maybe he's too involved in this process, and therefore...
I mean, that must be particularly hard in a family business, to tease out the personal from the working life and to get any sort of perspective at times, because you're so enmeshed on a day-to-day basis with your life and your work.
The third party thing is really, it goes back to that thing about learned behaviour that you have within family groups. And a third party can ask the questions, they can ask the devil's advocate questions of anybody within a family team, and you will respond to me differently to how you would respond if your brother, sister, husband, wife, father, mother asked you that question. The intervention of an outsider really can be a great thing in family businesses.
Yes. That's top advice. I mean,
That's why you can't be a coach or a therapist to your family member or even a friend or a close. There has to be a certain distance. Yeah. But also even everyday communication, I think I mentioned this to you, Sarah, those things where if somebody doesn't, let's say if Nico hasn't done something or he has done something that I don't think is right, or vice versa, if I've done something which he doesn't think is right, if it was a colleague or an employee and I wanted to say that things should be done differently or should be done, I would be much more tactful, and I'm sure you would be as well. But because it's somebody we're emotional, it immediately turns into nagging. Why did you do that? Defensiveness. So that's the biggest stressor on a day-to-day level. Yeah.
That's really interesting. And I'm going to play a tune now. I can't think of a better one to play than We Are Family by Sister Sledge. But after the tune, I really want to come back and find out if you've got any advice for people setting up their own businesses. So here's Sister Sledge. We Are Family by Sister Sledge, and here at The Business Show we are still with our theme of family businesses. Husband and wife team Yelena and Nico from Sussex Wellbeing Company are in the studio, along with Sandra Murphy from Business Doctors. We've talked about some of the difficulties of working together in a family business already, Nico, but what are the upsides of working with your wife in business?
Well, I like to press that from sort of challenging a bit. As well, we're discussing a bit earlier, actually you can use it as an excuse to press all the buttons, you know, because you're quite aware of your partner's blind spots, just because it's a really good blanket excuse, like, oh, I'm a bit upset, it's work-related, it's nothing personal. So at the same time, as it can be really challenging and tough sometimes, it can be really nice, and that's sort of it is work-related, so it's not personal, can be even better. Because sometimes, and that's what we do, we have our regular meetings, we go out, actually, to either coffee shop or restaurant, or we go for a nice breakfast, so we almost like have our business date, if you like, and then we can actually decide what we're going to do next, how we're going to do things. But there's just a small portion of things that actually are really on a plus side of doing business with your partner together. So many times, especially if you're really, in a long-lasting and, let's say, thorough relationship, you don't have to talk about so many things, especially when you go, let's say, unprepared. Not that we are going unprepared to see our clients. No, guys, I'm just saying that we're always prepared. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, like rushing there, and then there's no much time to actually discuss key points, and then we've got there almost like reading each other's mind. So that's how it works, and it can work really, really good, complementing each other from different skills and sort of getting from point A to point B in sort of different ways. We can create this, let's say, creative and absolutely interesting process, not only for our clients but actually for us as well. So, and that's the bit I was mentioning before, having fun.
Yes.
Sometimes actually means much more than actually earning money, even though I'm coming from rigid world of banking. Everything should be tangible and measurable, but still having fun is actually more
important. Maybe we can measure the fun later, but let's have the fun first. Thank you so much, all three of you, for coming into the studio and sharing your experiences of family business. Absolutely fascinating, and the topic, you know, I'm sure everybody has an opinion on. Yelena and Nico, if people want to boost the well-being of their business team or themselves in the new year, where can they find you?
Well, we're based in Brighton Hove, so you can find us online. www.sussexwellbeing.co.uk. So yeah, we're always happy to come and have a chat to actually see, because everything we do is very much tailored around the needs, and you're also guaranteed to get at least one dodgy joke from Nicola.
So, and Sandra, where can they find a business doctor?
They can find business doctors all the way around the UK. We are a UK-wide network. If they specifically want to find me, I'm Business Doctor Sussex Coast. And I can be found on LinkedIn, Sandra Murphy, Business Doctor Sussex Coast. I can be found on Twitter, at BizDoc Sussex Coast. Or I can be found via the Business Doctor's website.
Perfect. Thanks ever so much for coming into the studio.
The Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.
Here's some local business news from around Brighton and Sussex. If you think traffic congestion in Brighton and Hove is getting worse, you're probably right. A study by the sat-nav company TomTom shows that there's been a 36% increase in congestion in the city, and it's costing businesses more than £10 million a year. The cost is based on the working hours lost from commercial vehicles sitting in traffic, and places Brighton and Hove fifth in the national rankings. Let's hope that the roadworks down on the seafront clear up in the next year so that we can get the city moving again. Here's some good news. Young entrepreneur Stephanie Wolven has secured a business loan to expand her textile and design firm. She launched Stephanie Anne Design last year after taking part in the Prince's Trust Enterprise Programme. Stephanie pitched her plans to a panel with the Samuel Wilson's Loan Trust, which grants business loans to young people. And Stephanie, who's 26, said, "The support from the Prince's Trust has helped me to persevere, as going it alone and launching your own business isn't easy." It certainly isn't, Stephanie. And Overcoming Fears and Blocks is the title of an event coming up with the Chamber of Commerce in Brighton and Hove. The session's being held by Philippa Levinson at the County Ground on the 17th of January. And she says the thing that hold people back from achieving their dreams and aspirations are often not what they think they are. And in business and in personal lives, people find themselves limited by their own thoughts and fears more than external factors. This workshop is designed to address those issues, to allow people to thrive and meet their goals. She promises you'll leave with increased self-awareness and the ability to silence the mind chatter holding you back. Unlock your potential, book your place, and you can do so by visiting the Chamber website, businessinbrighton.org.uk. The Radio Reverb Studio is based at the Open Market in London Road, which has some cracking businesses to get your food and gift shopping in the lead up to Christmas. Featured company in the business show today is the Art Pothecary. So let's hear from Beth Radish. What is the Artpothecary, Beth?
The Artpothecary is a shop that sells art materials. So we sell all sorts of materials. It's not just your traditional stuff, but for casting and moulding, special effects, makeup, that sort of thing. We also do 3D printing and laser cutting and vacuum forming.
What kind of things do people get 3D printed?
Usually maquettes for uni students that just want something, because we're not experts at everything, we offer a very discounted rate just so that we can learn the process as well. So usually they pop in and we just print off what they've got, see how it works out.
Wow, but it is the future, isn't it?
Oh, yes, definitely.
And is there anything that's particularly seasonal that people might find if they're looking for gifts or decorations, perhaps?
Just in the middle of laser cutting, a lot of alternative-themed Christmas decorations. So you can get Doctor Who-themed Christmas decorations to hang on your tree.
Wow.
Some TARDISes and things.
That sounds fantastic. And I guess you've got the materials if people are making their own.
Absolutely, yeah. There'll be blank ones so that you can decorate your own too.
Fantastic. And why should we all be shopping at the open market this Christmas?
Well, it's full of local businesses, so it's easy to shop online and to get things delivered to your door. But the open market actually, by its essence, is a community hub. So we're here to support the community as much, and we need your support as well. Community, hi.
Thank you so much for supporting Radio Reverb. And as someone who regularly shops at the open market, I encourage you to come down and give us a wave through the studio window too. Well, thanks very much, Beth.
The Brighton Business Show on Brighton's Radio Reverb.
This is Natasha Steele with the Brighton Business Show. And next we have Going Up. Two business owners pitch to you, our Radio Reverb listeners. Will they inspire you to help them get to the next level? All will be revealed.
Ground floor perfumery, stationery and leather goods, wigs and haberdashery, kitchenware and food. First floor, telephones, gents, ready-made suits, shirts, socks, ties, hats, underwear and shoes. Going up. Second floor, carpets, travel goods and bedding.
So each month we welcome two businesses onto the show for our Going Up spot. They each get a minute to tell us what they do. Anyone in business is recommended to have an elevator pitch so that they can share what they do quickly and effectively. And it's based on the idea of finding yourself in a lift with someone really important that you want to impress, and you've only got the length of the ride to share the idea with them. So going into the elevator today are Aideen Smith-Watson and Lucy Dawes. Welcome to the Reverb Studio.
Thank you.
Brilliant that you could come in. And I'm not going to say what it is you do, because that's your job. You're about to step into the business show elevator, where you'll hear the doors shut and you'll have exactly a minute to pitch your business. When the minute's up, the doors will open. Are you ready to go into the lift, Aideen?
I am ready.
Super. Off you go.
Did you know that keeping employees happy and healthy can boost profit margins, as they're more engaged, loyal and creative, and up to 21% more productive than their less satisfied, non-engaged counterparts? Work-related stress costs the UK economy up to £99 billion annually, but for many employers, costs, time and knowledge are major barriers to developing a well-being strategy. I'm Aideen from Life Blueprint, and I'm accredited by the Stress Management Society, working with organisations to develop and deliver wellbeing strategies that create happier and more productive employees. Starting with a wellbeing audit before collaborating to design initiatives to deliver great physical and mental health, including mindfulness training, team building, employee support, stress seminars, complete with evaluation and feedback on your metrics of success. Clients include Legal & General and Sussex Police have seen the positive results and benefits of empowering their staff and taking time for well-being. If you want a happy, healthy and productive workforce, then contact Life Blueprint. Thank you.
Thank
you very much, Aideen. Well done. I think you just about kept within the minute there. How did it feel?
Good.
Yeah. Enjoy that.
Yeah,
great
thank
stuff.
You.
Are you ready to pitch, Lucy?
I think so. That was very good. So I've got a good one to follow.
I'm sure you'll do really well. So, Lucy, off you go.
So, hello, my name is Lucy Dorr. I am the managing director of estate agency Lawton & Dorr Properties, which is based on Portland Road in Hove. We are an independent, self-regulating estate agency and letting agency. We are a team of 8 women who are all qualified. We are a bit different purely because we are qualified in what we do. So I've got a degree in property management and lettings. All of my staff have sat the ALA Technical 1 qualification and Level 2 and 3. In an industry that's completely unregulated, anyone can go and set up a letting agent or estate agency. For me, I want people to realise that not all estate agents are the same and that some of us are jolly lovely. So if you have any details, or you want any details, should I say, on property sales or lettings, you can pop into the office. Like I said, you've got 8 ladies to choose from, or you've got the 2 office dogs. If you want their opinion, it's normally better than ours sometimes. So I'm Lucy from Lawton & Dorr Properties, where we manage homes, not houses.
Brilliant. Thank you, Lucy. Excellent pitch as well. Yeah, really good. So, coming back to you, Aideen, you've got an interesting background in terms of how you've come to set up your business. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. In my past life, I was a marketing consultant, so I worked in London, Sydney and Dublin, and the Cayman Islands as well for a short period of time. And then I became a parent and, to be honest, struggled a little bit, found it quite challenging, mm-hmm. trying to juggle the work-life balance. And I think you have these ideas of what family life is going to be like and the ideal and then the reality. I was always interested in yoga and meditation. And what I would find is I'd go off to a retreat and I would embrace all these wonderful things and have so much conviction, but as soon as I jump in the car and drive home, I could feel it ebbing away. So I then decided to become a mindfulness practitioner, and it really, really transformed my life. And I then decided to set up my practice and become a mindfulness practitioner, working with families and schools and really helping them develop ways of living a more mindful, happy life.
Could you just tell us a bit more about what mindfulness is, because it is a buzzword at the moment?
When people ask me what is mindfulness, I generally say, for me, it's about awareness, and it's awareness of yourself, mm-hmm. it's awareness of others, it's awareness of your interaction with others, and awareness of the environment and how it does impact you, and how you have a choice really, and how you're going to either react or you're going to respond in a more mindful way.
Absolutely. And in terms of your business and the way that you help your clients, in terms of your business clients in particular, how does that work for them? How does mindfulness benefit business people in particular?
Well, I think the way that we work in the UK and probably globally has changed dramatically. And there is, an epidemic of stress in the UK. As I said earlier, cost the economy up to $99 billion. And for most companies, employees are their most important asset. Yeah, and the cost, the cost of retaining them, mm-hmm. Recruiting them. So it's something that you really need to look after. So I work with organisations to show them that by having engaged employees, they are going to be more productive. Yeah, because when they're engaged, they're happier, they're less stressed, there's less absenteeism, but also there's less presenteeism, where people are in the workforce but they're actually not really there,
not doing anything yet.
So by implementing measures, and it really varies, it can be simple things of just changing the environment, the workplace environment, and how it is in terms of colors that are used, furniture, having a really good ergonomic chair, some plants, right through to
actual well-being initiatives, such as, you know, mindfulness training.
Could you give me an example of of what you've done with a particular client?
Yes, I mean, stress seminars. So recently for Sussex Police, they did their very first well-being week.
A very stressful job.
Exactly. And it was their first ever one that they've ever run. So there was a number of practitioners, some giving massage, then there was health MOTs, and I was delivering basically stress management. So it was a short session to really demonstrate how they could introduce techniques in the workplace. So if they had a minute, you know, there's 1,440 minutes in a day. So how could they, you know...
They might just be sitting in the car waiting for something to happen and they can use mindfulness in that moment.
Exactly. So a very simple one, which maybe the listeners might be interested in, was if we engage our senses, our ability to catastrophise goes down. So we can't really be present in our senses and catastrophizing to a really great extent at the same time. So I gave them just a very simple one, which was called the 5-4-3-2-1. So it's when you're in a space, you look around, five things that you can see. So really engaging, you know, your sense of sight, four things that you can hear.
So mindful eye spy.
Exactly. Yeah. Four things that you can hear. And that could be maybe even inside your body, listening to your own breathing or the gurgling of your tummy or outside. Three things that you could touch, two things that you can feel, so it could be again clothing, and one thing that you can taste. You mightn't even be eating, but you can taste, you know, the air. And what people do, it's a really good exercise. You may struggle on one of the senses more than the other, and it's discovering for you, well, actually I find that maybe hearing really grounds me, so maybe I need to explore things like that to calm myself down. It is listening to some peaceful music. So it was a little exercise like that that they could immediately relate to and carry with them, so when they're on the fly, just to recalibrate their own nervous system.
That's fascinating and great to get some top tips that we can all be putting into practice during Christmas.
Yes.
When there'll be plenty to smell, see, touch and taste.
Exactly.
Moving on to you, Lucy, very different kind of business.
A little bit, although very interesting, because well, for me and my employees, we're doing a lot more mindfulness. I've got them gym memberships, so it works massively in synergy. So we might be a state agency, but in order to be the best that we can be, which is what my goal is, I actually think that each of my employees have to reach their potential, which they're all completely different, but they have to do it in a very mindful, happy state of mind. So it's really interesting to hear.
Great. So we've got a mindfulness in estate agents. I didn't think I'd ever hear that.
Do you know
that's
what?
Great to hear.
Brilliant.
It's trying to redesign how people think of estate agencies. I was on a course recently, and apparently we are one above politicians in how people think of us, which... it's scary to say the least, but I'm not particularly surprised. And for me, I've been doing this since I was 16, and I'm a little bit older than that now. And I hate the fact that people view us like that. You know, for me, I love what I do, and my team do too. You know, we are part of people's lives when they're at the most stressed. I mean, moving, I think anyone will agree, is a pain. You know, sometimes obviously it's nice and exciting, first house together, moving in with your partner, having a baby, but sometimes it's the other end of the spectrum. And yeah, with Christmas looming and New Year's resolutions and things, and I say this, it makes me sound a bit like Scrooge, but New Year's resolutions are the ones where one-bedroom properties in January spike. We get lots of demand for them because, unfortunately, people go, do you know what, actually, we've tried, let's stop. Or we get people going, let's move in together. So it is a real transitional month for us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think that the more you can empathise with people and the more you can guide them professionally and qualified, actually you can be a real asset to people when they move houses. I mean, most of my clients have been with me for the 8 years we've been running Lawton and Dawes since I've been down in Sussex. And they're friends now, and that's what I like. You know, my tenants are lovely. When you sell a house, you're properly engaged because you know how stressful it is being on the other side of it.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what we aim for. And I think the mindfulness works brilliantly with that, because when you are mindful and you can feel and you stop and take a breath, it's not all about numbers and figures and targets. It's actually about making a difference to the people that are in your community.
And relationships with them, yeah.
Absolutely.
I can see that. I've never heard that angle to estate agents before. Thanks ever so much for bringing that to
me. I completely get that from my mum. So, yeah, we grew up in a village in Winchester, so Hampshire, and my mum's been the sort of pinnacle of the village since I was a little girl. And she... it was always her instigating, going, well, what difference can you make in the profession that you're in to the community that you're in? So, yeah, now I've got her to thank for that.
Thanks to Lucy's mum as well, then. That's fantastic. I mean, the rental sector is really fraught at the moment, especially. I think it's never been more topical in terms of being in the news. And that's not only for tenants, it's also for landlords. But how can both tenants and landlords get the best out of their agents?
I think it's, I mean, we're being used as political piñatas at the moment, because I think it's by 2020 the highest voting population will be in private rental properties. Mm. It won't be owner-occupied or council houses now, which is a huge shift.
Yes.
So obviously the government will go for where the voting's voting people are, and they'll try and make changes. What you want to find is a regulated agency.
Right.
We aren't regulated by anybody at the moment, and we keep, you know, I've been part of a body called Arla Property Mark, and that's a self regulating agency. They audit our client accounts. I mean, I didn't realise until I became part of Arla, which is nearly 13 odd years ago, that your client accounts for estate agencies, they're not reconciled. Mm. So a company account could be the same as where the rents are paid, the same as where the deposits are held. There's no one there checking that that's separate, that they're not using your rent to pay their business overheads.
Yeah.
So for us, for me, that doesn't sit well. So we're part of Arla Property Mark. They annually inspect our accounts.
Gosh.
All of our staff have to be trained and qualified. We have to go on seminars pretty much every quarter, if not more frequently. And because there's been so much government legislation coming our way, for both landlords and tenants, if you get an agency that is regulated by Arla Property Mark, which is really the only brilliant one out there that does everything you need it to, you know, they do lobby a lot with the government, so they're at the forefront of any changes, you've got that reassurance that you've got people that actually know what they're talking about, especially when it comes to lettings. You know, I've read some stats that some tenants didn't even realise they had to be given 2 months' notice to vacate from a landlord. It's things like that where you just think, well, how do people not know that? But if they're not being educated by the so-called professionals the industry,
yes,
then they're not going to. So for me, look out for the Arla Property Mark logo, and then you know you've got somebody who is trained.
That's top advice.
Yes.
If anybody is needing to, you know, move in the next 6 months, there you go. There's some guidance for you. Absolutely brilliant to have you both on the show. Thanks ever so much, Aideen. Would you like to tell us how people can find your company?
Yes, so it's lifeblueprint.co.uk, and yeah, my name is Aideen, and happy to talk to you.
Thank you very much. And Lucy, how do we find Lawton and Dawes?
So our website is www.ldpl.co.uk, and yeah, we're Lawton and Dawes Properties.
Thank you both ever so much for coming on the show. If you'd like to enter the Business Show Elevator to pitch your company, drop me a line and we'd love to have you on. Find us on Twitter or Facebook at Business Reverb, or email natasha.steele@icloud.com.
The Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.
I'd like to welcome Abby Hills from Pelotas, a toy shop here in the open market, onto the Business Show. Abby, would you like to tell us about your shop?
Hi there. Yeah, so I've got a Pelotas toy and circus shop. Our toys focus on hand-eye coordination, imagination, getting kids creative, whether it's arts and crafts, puzzles, really just the traditional toy as well as the new and modern craze. I like to stock toys which are suitable for all age groups, including adults. I've got stuff like fire hula hoops, which are really good fun for adults, and juggling clubs. Yeah, as well as the traditional toys, baby toys. I like to think I've got something for everyone.
Sounds great. And if you don't really know what toy you want because you're not used to children, what can you help people with?
Well, this is something I think is my strength, is that my customers come in and they say, oh, I've got a three-year-old to buy for, I've got a £10 budget, what do I buy? So I can really show you, give you lots of ideas, tell you the kind of toy that's perfect for that age group. And that's quite a common problem, actually. People don't know what to buy. They, you know, maybe they had children ages ago, or they don't have children themselves. They're an auntie or an uncle. So that's really my unique thing that I can help. I'm always on hand, and no one knows the stock better than I do myself, because I pick it all. We go to toy fairs, we pick up these toys and we play with them. And also I've got three children myself, so quite often I take the toy home. If it's a board game especially, my children are mad into board games, we play them all. So yeah, they've tried and tested, as well as our circus equipment, which gets tried and tested in fields by thousands of children, because we quite often run circus workshops at festivals too.
Super. And can you just tell us why people should come to the open market to shop this Christmas?
Well, the fantastic thing about the open market is that not only are you supporting local businesses, you are finding gifts which are a little bit different. You've got fantastic different ideas, and quite often we have visiting craft markets as well, so you can really find a unique gift, something a bit different and fun. You know, from miniature moss, where you can make a terrarium, to something made out of clay, to chocolate, tea, honey, Indian clothes, retro gear. There's just something for everyone here. And the best thing is, you avoid the hustle and bustle of town.
Super. Thank you very much for coming on the show, Abby.
Thanks, Jan.
Well, you know we're getting older, but you know we still get high. Just leaning on each other's shoulder, no better way to get by. You sing your song, I'll sing along. Sing your song, I'll sing mine, and now the chorus is here. In time, and it all leads me to be singing this duet. We've hardly started yet. Places we've not been will go. Those faces we've not.
track there from a local duo, Naomi Bedford and Paul Simmons, who will be playing in Brighton in the new year at the Comedia. If there's a track that means a lot to you in your working life, tell us on Facebook and Twitter at Business Reverb, or email natasha.steele@icloud.com. I'd like to welcome to the show Dan Warburton. Dan is a transformational coach and has spent over 15 years in self-development and in working on self-transformation. He now shares this knowledge with business professionals. helping them achieve their business and life goals through personal transformation. Living the dream, as he puts it on his own website. Dan, you've worked as an interior designer, a silver bullion investor, and a Tai Chi master. You now have a successful business as a transformational coach, but life wasn't always so good. Can you tell us a little about your backstory?
Yeah, life wasn't so good is a bit of an understatement. I found my days at school very, very hard. I didn't fit in with the geeks, the footballers. I wasn't liked by the teachers. I failed, and I just didn't feel like I fitted in anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got to sort of mid-teens, I then got into smoking pot, mm-hmm. and I was stoned for 5 straight years of my life.
Mm-hmm.
By the time I was 21, I went completely off the rails, psychotic breakdown, and then same again happened when I was 23. And then 25, I began to rebalance, and my life was just such a mess. I already had failed relationships, failed businesses, had been broke, like completely already, and was in a tiny little flat in Brighton,
mm-hmm.
and I was curled up in the corner shivering, having had that experience of my life so far, questioning, is the rest of my life going to be like that? Is it really going to be like this? And why are some people wealthy and happy and seem to have great lives, and why are other people like me just can't seem to even, you know, succeed in anything mm-hmm. that we try?
So what was the first transformation you achieved personally, and how did you arrive there?
So I began working with an amazing coach called Tim Williams. He's more of a spiritual mentor, but he began coaching me along the path of transformation and ontology. Ontology is the study of being,
mm-hmm.
that how I'm being causes me to then experience the same experience of the world back. So if I'm being, I'm not good enough, I can't do it,
mm-hmm.
it will never happen to me, I'll then behave as if that's true, and then the world will show back to me and prove that to me, because mm-hmm. people might feel awkward around me, don't feel confident to employ me, everybody keeps saying no. So then all those things only ever enforce that way that I've got the way the world is and isn't, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that began with him. And then I was brought back to an event through his coaching when I was 3 years old, and I was sat in a double push pram with my brother next to me. And my mother came out the shop, and I put my hands up so she could give me what she bought. She ignored me and gave it to my brother. And I got really angry with my brother because he'd taken all the love and attention away from me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 3, he's 1, and I was so angry, so angry. So to get my revenge, I leant over and I bit his ear really hard. And he screamed out crying and crying, and my father saw this, runs over to me and says, "No. You mustn't do that. He's your brother. You must love your brother."
Mm.
And in that moment, I got that I made that mean. I'm just not good enough. Mm. Nobody wants me. And that's the way the world was for me in that moment onwards. And it made me overtry, overwork, not be able to confidently speak to people. I would mess interviews up. I wouldn't take up opportunities. And it left me in this spiral of failure my whole life.
Extraordinary how powerful those childhood moments can become in our life stories.
Yeah.
Just incredible, really.
That's it. And then in realising the event and what I made it mean, I got to unlearn the two, and then that was breakthrough. And the breakthrough was so profound that I then became very calm. I became very close to my father.
Mm-hmm.
Now I coach my father to grow his business internationally. And he's the man that I feared the most from that moment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how much the transformation has been for me.
So what would you say has been the most important thing you've learned during your own self-development?
Okay, amazing question, Natasha. And this is it. So in your hand, you've got here a copy of the 7-point transformational mandala.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just show this to you guys. So you'll be able to see this. It's actually on my Facebook page. So if you scroll down, you can have a look, and I'm going to take you through this.
So it's for the Reverb listeners at home, can they access this on your website?
Yeah, well, currently this is on my Facebook page. So if they just Facebook Coach Dan Warburton, they'll find it.
Okay.
And this is my biggest realization of my whole life. And it's been being able to articulate the transformation process that I went through to transform this key event that then enabled me to access this extraordinary lifestyle that I live now, which is very free and fully expressed and at ease, you know? So it's got 7 points to it. The first part is occurrence. So that's getting like the general everyday feeling.
So we're looking at a circular mandala
shaped graphic.
Yeah.
And there are 7 points on this mandala.
Yeah.
As is usual, I think, with a mandala.
Yes.
I don't know a lot about
them. Mandalas, they're endless in the amount of points they have. Okay. Yeah.
And so we're starting at the top.
Yeah.
We've got occurrence.
Occurrence. So it starts there. And when this is broadcasted live, let me know and I'll make sure I load it back up to my page again for anyone that can see this. And so the first part is I take people through this on a one-on-one, sat with them, or in groups of people. Mm-hmm. And the first part is occurrence. What is the general occurrence of your life right now? How do you feel when things don't go to plan or things take longer than they should do? Mm-hmm. Usually it's angry, frustrated, annoyed, fed up, tired. Mm-hmm. Then the next part is I ask, okay, physiology. How do you feel that in your body? So here it's articulation of cellular memory. So where do you feel that? So for me, it's anxiety. Mm-hmm. That's whenever things don't go to plan, I feel anxious. And then where I feel that is in my chest and I get tight chest.
And that's a very common feeling for everybody.
That's right, isn't it?
People in business.
And isn't it funny? Now, this is real white elephant stuff that we're speaking about here, you know, and this is where I speak about. I always own up to the white elephant, right? Mm-hmm. Then the next part is recalling the emotional event. Okay, so I ask, so now that you're aware of this feeling, when was the first time you remember physically feeling this sensation and what happened? Mm-hmm. And that usually brings people back to all sorts of events mm-hmm. they've never, ever had any idea about. Mm-hmm. For me, going through this journey, I realised, poof, I got it. I was 3 years old and I was sat in that pushchair, mm-hmm. right? Then the next part is interpretation, expansion of awareness. So it's becoming aware of what was I thinking in that moment that then became an interpretation of what I am and am not. Mm-hmm. Because as the world happens, we naturally as human beings compare ourselves to what's happening. Mm-hmm. And if it's bigger than us, then I'm small, right? Mm-hmm. If everyone's studying in an exam and you haven't got a clue, then I'm not clever, or I'm stupid, whatever it is.
So you tell yourself a story that isn't true.
That's right. And it becomes an interpretation of just the way the world is and isn't. And then we forget we've even thought that. We just think we've automatically understood the way the world is from that moment on. And then we just get on surviving the world as if that's how it is from that moment onwards. Mm-hmm. Right? And then breakthrough, unlearning the interpretation. That's being able to see, I invented this. Mm-hmm. It's not true. And I don't need to be that anymore. We can't let go of something we're not aware of, right? Mm-hmm. So up until now, it's the expansion of awareness to become aware of what we're believing. Then empowered state, and that is being yourself. So once you don't have to survive the way the world is and isn't, mm-hmm. you get a breakthrough in full self-expression, in relaxation, in being able to follow your dreams, goals, ambitions. Mm-hmm. Go and tell that person you love them. Go and ask that person out on a date. Go and apply for that job interview. And that's being ourselves.
Sure.
When we're in a state of survival, we're not ourselves. When we're ourselves, we're in a state of creation. We're then able to create ourselves in the given moment as a reflection of that which we want to create in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And finally, point 7 of the 7-star transformation of mandala is full expression, live the dream. So when we're fully expressed, we get to really honour what's important to us and take those actions to actually live that lifestyle.
Well, that's quite an incredible journey you, I presume, take your own clients on in terms of your business practice. What 3 things can people do if they're at home with a small business? They might not have the resources to access a transformational coach just yet. What 3 things might they start to do?
Well,
get themselves kick-started.
Just to be clear, this 7-point transformation mandala I've created in this process is so powerful that most people I take through it, it only takes about 1.25 hours.
Really?
And I would say 8 out of 10 people report that their life transforms and they change their life path, change direction completely in just that 1 hour and 15.
Goodness.
The problem is with doing this on your own is that we use our blind spots to see the blind spots. It's like using the same thinking that created the problem in the first place. Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to do this on our own, but if you were at home now, I would say begin with a pad of paper and a pen and go through this 7-point transformational mandala. Ask mm-hmm. yourself occurrence. How do I feel each day? What's that nausea feeling that I won't admit? How do I feel when I walk into audiences or if I get on stage or if someone lets me down? And be honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. Then write down, where do I feel this physically? Like for me, it was anxiety. and tight shoulders, headaches maybe. Then get present to that. Now you're beginning to get access to your memory, because your memory's in your body, not your brain. Then recall it. See, where do I remember physically feeling this? Where was it? Was it with when I was with my father, my mother? Was it at school, kindergarten? The earlier back you can go, the more powerful, sure. Right? Then interpretation. What was I thinking at the time? Yeah? And yeah. Usually it's I'm not this, I'm that, whatever that is. And then write down, I invented this, it's not true, I don't have to be that way anymore, right? Set Absolutely. Yourself free. Choose an empowered state of being. How are you going to be from this moment on that's going to make all the difference to you realising and fulfilling what's really important to you? What's it going to take for you to go for that dream, to go for that career, to really give up settling for a 9-to-5 existence and dare to actually dream, and then dare to choose the dream, and then dare to live the dream? And then that will be your full self-expression.
Dan, it's an absolute inspiration talking to you. And I very much hope that there are business people at home who are flagging a bit, feeling a bit down, needing a boost and needing to rethink the way they do things to get themselves right. Where they want to be. And best of luck with your own business and with spreading the word with your transformational
Thank
inspiration.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The Brighton Business Show on Radio Reverb.
And that's it from me. I'd like to thank all my guests, Sandra Murphy, Yelena and Niko Goranovic, Aideen Smith-Watson, Lucy Dawes and Dan Warburton.